Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it's great to be with you. Great to have the opportunity to look back on the third part in a little sub-series that you have been doing for us recently on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, we've been building on our theme this year, which is Rise and Build. We've been focusing upon getting through the last year and not letting that define us, but moving on to what God wants us to be. And so we've looked at Matthew 16, verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. And in our first segment, we talked about what was it that Jesus built? What is the church? And that's saved people. And then in our second segment, we talked about how did he build saved people? And that's through the Word of God. And so this past Sunday, we talked about the elements upon which Jesus would use to build those people. And we kind of mirrored what Jesus or what God did in the creation account from Genesis chapter 1. We find these simple principles, and they're really flowing all through the Bible. And that is life and endurance or lasting and love. And that's how God made the created world. Those are the elements we find in the miracles of Jesus, and we found that those are the same elements that God uses within the church. The church is a living being. It's part of the body of Christ. It's an enduring kingdom, and it's built upon love, the love of God. And so that was kind of the structure of our lesson as we talked about those elements of which God has built the church.
I want to pick your brain a little on at least a couple, probably all three of those L words. I thought the props that you had up there, if you have not had the opportunity to go back and watch or listen to Roger's sermon, I would certainly encourage you to do that at charlestownroad.org. For those who weren't able to watch, Roger, you illustrated this by having a couple of things from your office. You had a live lily that you had recently gotten at a funeral. You had a flower that has been in your office much longer. I think you said more than 10 years that has been sitting on your desk. But the key was that wasn't alive, right? It's an artificial flower. You haven't watered it. You're not worried about it getting the right amount of sunlight. In fact, it had gathered a little bit of dust, I think you said in the sermon. And then you had a big rock, a geode, and then you had a stick that you had picked up Sunday morning in your backyard. And you use that to illustrate that, okay, all four of these we can see with our eyes. You can have them sitting up there on the podium, but only one of them was alive. All four were present, and all four were taking up space. All four could be used to make a point, but only one of them was alive. And I think that's such an important thing for us to think about when it comes to our conception of the church. Yes, God is building, has been building the church of Jesus Christ, universally, we could say, we wholeheartedly believe is doing alive and well, and it will endure. We believe the promises of God. But just because we recognize that from the standpoint of, okay, the universal level, the gates of Hades itself are not going to be able to prevail against the Lord's church, that doesn't necessarily mean that every single local church family is alive and well.
And that's illustrated for us even in our Bibles. We get to the tail end of it in the book of Revelation. We read about Sardis. And there it says in chapter 3, verse 1, that they had a reputation, they had a name that they were alive, but the Lord declared that they were dead. And I think even the bigger reality check is when we just flip through that New Testament and we realize the majority of the New Testament are letters written to churches. Church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, Philippi, Rome, all those places. We ask ourselves, are there congregations still there today? And the answer to almost all of those is no. Right. They're not around. And so the illustration I was making with that live plant and the artificial plant and the stick and the rock is that the stick and the artificial plant and the rock, they don't change. They're going to be the same 10 years from now if we still have 10 years. They're just going to look because they do not. They don't have the principles of life. And so within the principles of life is change. We grow. We produce, and we see that all about us. Little cute puppy dogs grow up to be old lazy dogs. You know, that's that's life. Okay, a little sapling grows up to become a mighty oak. There's growth. Okay, that's a concept we see of life. And when we don't have life, things never change. Now, some people like that. Some people like the stability, things not changing. But what it's missing is the substance of life. And when there is no life, there's really no hope whatsoever.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you here. A number of people have it very much in their minds that I just want things to remain the same. I don't like change. And so what would you say to the brother or sister in Christ who just wants things to remain the same?
Get to heaven.
Okay.
It's not going to change much there. Okay. But while we're here, that's the principles of life. There are so many parallels and mirrors between what God has established with the church and our families. And so we start off with a husband and wife, just those two. And then there comes a baby. And then that baby grows. And then here comes baby number two. That baby grows. Someday those little ones become teenagers, and then they keep growing. Then they move out of the house, and we're back to mom and dad and empty nesters. Then the kids get married. And then here comes the grandkids. Life is always changing, and that's the way God made it to be. And when somebody says, well, you know, I like things just to stay the way they are, inherent in that statement is, I don't want the church to grow.
Yeah.
I don't want new faces in here. I don't want new people in the eldership. I just want everything to stay the same. And it won't do that. Number one, it's appointed a man wants to die. And so the church doesn't stay the same. There's just like within the family, there's ups, there's downs, there's good days, there's days that's not so good. But in this all, as we keep moving and growing and reshaping things, we see that life is the way God made it. And one of the parts of our sermon we talked about are some of the terms that God refers to us. We are a branch. He is the vine. Well, that branch is supposed to produce, it says in John 15. We are living stones, Peter says, not just rocks, but we're rocks that are alive, is what Peter says. We are lambs, are part of God's flock. Again, living illustrations. God never says you're just a stick and lifeless and useless. He uses terms of value, and that's, again, something we need to see within the congregation.
Yeah, when you think of things just remaining the same, not changing, not being disrupted or making progress in any way. One of the biblical ways maybe of describing that is being asleep or even being dead. And you referenced Sardis earlier. It's interesting to me that in a group where perhaps things were just being maintained and maybe some were happy about that, the Lord himself says in Revelation 3 verse 2, you've got to wake up. You've got to strengthen what remains and is about to die. Those are 2,000-year-old words, but I think so powerful for us to get it in our minds that, okay, just because something is sitting there gathering dust doesn't mean that it is pleasing to the Lord. Just because it has endured for years, maybe decades, maybe multiple generations, doesn't mean that it is alive, actively attached to the vine and bearing the fruit that Jesus would have it to bear. When you are able to visit other places, Roger, What sort of symptoms do you see where maybe there is some waking up, some revitalization that needs to happen in a church like that?
You know, I think sometimes people have the mindset that the church is a museum, and we're the caretakers of this ancient document called the Bible. And most museums I've been to are kind of old and dusty, and there's not a lot of new stuff and not a lot of life going on. We use the illustration of water. Here in Indiana, we have a lot of ponds around out here in the countryside. And when water flows in, water flows out, that's good. But when it doesn't have any flowing, that water becomes stagnant and becomes green and becomes very unpleasant to look at. And that, again, is a concept. So what you notice sometimes is just the worship service just seems stale. It's just like folks are going through the motions, and there doesn't seem to be an excitement that we are in the presence of God, and we're singing with passion, and we're preaching with passion. There's a lot of zeal that's missing. It's just kind of like we're going through the motions, and it's like, this is something we have to do, so let's just get it done and let's be on with it. And that's not the idea. You see sometimes people just not want, really interested in each other.
Yeah.
The amen said, and people are in the car and they're peeling out. And there's not a lot of fellowship. There's not a lot of connecting with each other. And one reason is it's the same faces all the time. Nothing ever changes. No new faces in, and it's just same people over and over, and it just gets kind of stagnant, kind of stale. I have nothing to say to you because I saw you last week, and everything's the same. And the fellowship is missing. And so those are some of the ingredients as you think about when churches need to look at themselves and what they're really doing with the Lord.
That was your third L, was love. And to me, that is one of the things that really stands out when I visit other places. You can tell spending 4 days, 6 days, however long it is that you're going to be in a given place. If you are there with that group on Sunday morning, and as soon as the amen is said, people just one after another walk right by you. I mean, I'm sure you've had the similar experience. I have watched as the amen is said, and in under 6 or 7 minutes, that auditorium is empty. People are gone, and you spend Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you begin to see this pattern where there's not much relationship there, that there's not much interaction, that there's not much encouragement. Yes, we were all in the same place facing the same direction for an hour or so, but that love that God is seeking to build within the DNA of His church isn't there. And I think one thing valuable to take away from your sermon is if that third L, if that love isn't there, it's probably not a group that is alive, and it almost certainly will not last.
Absolutely. There's something I learned a long time ago, and I've just used this lots of times. There are three ingredients to life. And this is true of puppy dogs, this is true of little boys, this is true of trees. And that is, if they have the proper diet, they have proper exercise, and they fight disease, you cannot stop them from growing. So if you give a puppy dog the proper diet, exercise him, and fight his diseases, you can put a brick on that puppy dog's head and he's going to grow. He's going to grow. Same thing with that little boy. Same thing with that tree. That tree is going to grow. Those roots are going to get deeper and deeper. And so those three ingredients are what we need in a healthy congregation. We've got to have the proper diet, and that diet is the Word of God. And we've got to be preaching the whole gospel of God. We've got to be talking about the difficult things that we may not like to hear, but we've got to look at them. We've got to look at relationships. We've got to look at culture, and we've got to put all this together through the lens of God's eyes. And then we've got to exercise. Sometimes we're like college students, we're in there and we're just taking all this information in, but that information needs to change us, should transform us. We should leave the church building better and going out into the world and letting our light shine, becoming the people of God that God wants us to. And then we got to fight diseases. There's warnings in the Bible, and there's consequences to wrong actions, and we gotta let those things be known and work on those things, living pure, better lives. But when we have the right diet, right exercise, and we fight diseases, we will grow because that's the nature of life.
Yeah. I was talking to a young person just this past week who had been to the doctor, had COVID several weeks ago, and is still in the frame of mind where it's very easy. The doctor put it as babying your lungs. You know, still there's a little bit of shortness of breath there. Not able maybe to walk as far or as fast as you did comfortably without a thought in the world, just a few months ago. And, after, a follow up with the doctor, he told this young person, listen, you're going to be okay. You're on the road to recovery, but your lungs need exercise. You can't baby those lungs. You got to get out and you got to push yourself. You got to walk. You got to get back into the habit of exercising. And it strikes me that probably local churches, our own local church family, our lungs need to be stretched, right? If we just have endured the last year and baby our spiritual lungs where, okay, we're doing the bare minimum. We're just going to kind of go with the flow. If somebody directly approaches me and tells me that I need to do something, well, then I'll do it. But maybe I'm just in a habit of kind of going with the flow, being a little lazy. What would you say to the person who wants to be a part of the Lord's church, but maybe it's time to
exercise?
To exercise.
You know, we've had an earlier podcast last year. We've talked about this idea of the input and the output.
Yeah.
We've had sermons about that. Of course, the input is our diet, and your output's based upon your input. So we've got to be putting the Word of God in it. But then the output is how we exercise. And so, even in the world of social distancing, you know, we have texts, we have emails, we have social media. There's so many positive, wonderful ways to share things with others, among your family, even family that's, you know, different states away. Hey, I heard this lesson. You ought to listen to this. Or here's something that our congregation has put out. Share that with somebody. Share it with coworkers. There's a lot of ways. I think God has made evangelism so easy today. There was a time not too long ago when we used the word evangelism and the first thought came to my mind is going across the street and knocking on the neighbor's door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today your neighbor's going to holler, "What do you want?" You know, he's just, you know, we're so, you know, isolated. We don't do those things today, but because of social media, we can do so much easier today. We can spread things around and just share them everywhere and try to help. And that's exercising. I've learned this. I heard this. Hey, I saw this passage and man, it changed my life. Or I really saw something about Jesus I'd never really realized before. I want to share that with you.
Yeah.
And just powerful things of doing that. That's how we start exercising. And then we connect with each other in different ways. And we find somebody of our same age and we try to encourage them. Or somebody a little bit older, we try to encourage them. We let them know, hey, I really appreciate the good job you're doing. We're exercising. We're into the mode now of the output. I've taken things in, now I'm putting things out. I'm putting out encouragement, instruction, and help, and I'm doing things for others. During this COVID, my wife and I, we've taken food to a lot of people. We've left it on the front porch, sent them a text, hey, we got you a meal, it's on your front porch, and we left. And they were very, very thankful.
Right.
So, you know, you may think, well, you know, I would have taken meals, but you can't see each other. Well, you can still do it, can't you? Just leave it on the front porch and send them a text. You know, I would love to go see this person who had an operation, but I can't. Well, send them a card.
Yeah.
Call them up. You know, we sometimes look for the easy way out, and sometimes that easy way out can become an excuse. So in difficult times, you just got to find other ways of doing it. And there are lots of ways of doing things.
I had two older members who were here this past Sunday for the first time in a very, very long time. We're seeing that every Sunday. So encouraging to see many of our veteran church family members coming back. But two distinct ones mentioned to me a lot of new faces around here. People that I've never met, and I encouraged them, go introduce yourself, right? We have had, despite the pandemic, our church family has grown as far as new faces, new families, new individuals, and it's really easy maybe to look across the auditorium and say, well, I've never seen that person before. I don't know who that is, and ask someone and find out who that is, and okay, shake my head and then walk right out. But no, to exercise is to go and introduce yourself. Ask their name. Ask them where they're from, how they came to be here. Let them know that, you know, you've been a member of this church family for a good long time, and it's good to have them here. We need to push ourselves in order to grow.
And again, we think about the analogy to nature. And again, there are so many parallels. That's why I used the creation account in that sermon, because there's so many parallels to the natural world and the spiritual world. You see a little rose plant. You see a young tree. Pretty soon, as spring gets into warmer weather, into summer, we're going to see sprouts, and we're going to see more growth on those branches. And what's happening? We're seeing new stuff. This little branch wasn't there last year. This little bloom wasn't there last year. And they're growing. And that's part of life.
Yeah.
That's the way life is supposed to be. Now, so we have to understand, we cannot always assume, and that's the danger, is assumption, that this congregation will always be the way it is. That's a fatal mistake. And when you do the history of a congregation, you look at when they began and you trace it through the years. And I've done that with lots of congregations. What you notice is there's ups and there's downs. There's mistakes they've made. Leadership has a huge part in all this, whether they thrive and survive or whether they just fold up and die. And so all of this gets back to the idea of we are living, but we've got to keep the principles of life in us or we won't live.
Yeah. You mentioned toward the end of your sermon, the church is capable of doing the work God gave it to do. You really believe that?
I do. I do
too.
And you know, sometimes we get the idea, okay, you know, we're to go into all the world. That means we've got to build some exterior organization. We've got to have some headquarters over here. We've got to have levels of managers. We've got to have a marketing team. And what that simply means is God established something that's incapable of doing. I do not believe that. Again, to the principles of creation in Genesis 1, we don't need aliens from other planets to bring us supplies on their spaceships. I don't believe there are aliens anyway, but but if there were, to keep us going. God has built a system that sustains itself. We never run out of oxygen here on planet Earth. We never run out of water here on planet Earth because it's a self-sustaining organization. That principle goes to the church. So when God has principles that we're supposed to encourage one another, that's something we can do. We're supposed to be lights into the world. That's something we can do. We don't pay another organization. We don't build something else to do that. I believe the training of preachers, the development of future shepherds comes within the congregation. We don't have to have a college over here or some organization over here or some paper over here to do that work. It's to be done within the congregation. So the church can do what God wants it to do.
The elements of what God builds, a great idea. And if you miss any of that, you can access the audio on our podcast feed, our sermon podcast feed. You can go back and watch the video at charlestownroad.org. We've been doing a lot of work on this idea of rising and building. Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., I'm going to take this a step further, returning to a key text that we have used throughout the first part of this year in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to zero in on how Paul talks about Christ is the cornerstone. We are joined together, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we are growing, Paul says, into a holy temple. What did he mean by that? And what does it mean for us today to be a holy temple in the Lord? That's this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. But Roger, before we get there, we're excited to have an in-person opportunity this evening, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. What do you have lined up for us?
We are continuing our study of the life of Joseph. We're using, again, our theme of rise and build. We're just doing that everywhere in what we're doing here. And we're going to be talking about some of the character traits of Joseph. And we love for you to be here. If you can't, it'll be live streamed at 7 o'clock as we think about the work that we're doing here and trying to get those things going. This Sunday evening, we're back to Sunday evening services. And I'm going to launch off a new series. And it's going to be called On the Same Page with God. Lots of times folks just don't see eye to eye on issues. And we're going to talk about being on the same page with God. And then this is the introduction lesson. And then we're going to go to several places after that.
A lot of good things going on. Sunday mornings, just weekend after weekend, are really encouraging to see some old new faces, if that makes sense. And now some new faces. We continue to have guests. We would love to have you come and build with us. A lot of positive things that are developing. Roger, you've had a big part into that, and I appreciated this sermon this past Sunday. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. Maybe it would be helpful if you shared this with someone else who could have some positive thing to think about here in the middle of the week. We would love it if you would share this or any other resource with them. We're looking forward to tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. We're looking forward to this coming Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.